You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time for our weekly catch-up with the National Party.
Welcome back to The Wire. The final report from the Abuse in State Care Inquiry was published on Wednesday last week. The report discussed historic and present issues of abuse in state care, particularly how it affects marginalised groups such as Māori, Pasifika and disabled children and young people. The report then provided several recommendations to Parliament on potential policy or funding changes. In our weekly catch-up with the National Party's Katie Nimmin, I asked her about these recommendations and how the government would respond to the report. The government also recently made the decision to put some new school developments on hold. These developments, initially proposed to address overcrowding in schools across the country, have been split into three groups, with some going ahead as planned, others going ahead with small changes, and others put on hold indefinitely. This decision has met criticism from teachers and principals, particularly due to existing overcrowding issues. While the schools with the highest need will still receive the necessary developments, others slightly lower on the priority list will have to wait. I spoke to Katie Nimmin about both of these issues, starting off by asking about the Abuse in State Care report. So to start us off today, I hope to begin with the Abuse in State Care report. Just to catch us up, I'd like to start a bit general. What was the attitude like in government and the National Party when the report was made public last week on Wednesday?
Oh, look, it was harrowing. I mean, I think everybody acknowledged how really horrible and truly horrible the stories were. And I think the thing that was pretty impactful for most MPs was just to see and talk to and hear from the victims, those that have lived through it and have shared their stories and been really vulnerable and brave to tell those stories. So I think it was just one of those really humbling moments and a time that has sort of shifted in history. And I think, just truly acknowledging the horrific nature of what was experienced by so many people.
And in that report, there were several recommendations made regarding improvements to the state care system to address those issues. When can we expect to see discussions or updates around those?
Well, look, the report has been 6 years in the making, so I think the key to realise is that it's taken some time to get here, but we're committed to responding to those findings and the recommendations. Of course, redress report is it's about making decisions on initial priorities in the coming months. So, in April, Cabinet established the ministerial group. I think there's 9 ministers involved in that. So we'll have a response, I would hope, by the end of the year.
Can you speak to any of the recommendations specifically, or is that mostly under wraps for, later this year when that sort of information comes out?
Well, look, not being one of those 9 ministers, just not being a minister at all, I can't speak to the detail of that, but I am really confident in the ministers that are involved in that group and that they are genuinely treating this with the most respect that it deserves. And so officials, obviously, as well, will work with the government to provide those ministers an initial assessment of the final report as well and recommendations to Cabinet in the coming months. So I can't speak to any of it until it's decided, but I am confident that there will be really careful treatment of those recommendations and due consideration as well.
Moving on to education spending, the government is investing in classroom developments for schools across the country. However, news has come out that some of these developments are set to go on hold. Can you speak to why these developments might be being delayed?
Yeah, well, look, the Ministry of Education is always going to be prioritising funding based on where it's most needed. Redevelopment, role growth and new school projects are being prioritised to address immediate capacity issues. What we don't want to see is overcrowding in schools where the conditions start to reduce to a point that it's not safe. So the previous government had said yes to a lot of projects, some that were pressing need and some that weren't so much. And this is really just a projects being deferred by the ministry, and they'll be eligible for funding in a future financial year. So it's really just pushing them down the timeline so that we can prioritise those really high-risk or really high-need projects that need to be done right now. So really, those projects have just been identified by the ministry as not being essential at this time.
With those projects that have been determined not to be essential right now, do those schools have a timeline on when they can expect those developments to go through?
So certainty on that will come, but, an example of one would be a school that's had enough teaching spaces to accommodate its current role They might just be looking to expand their role, for example, and wanting that sort of work to start in advance. Or some projects that are sort of in the very, very early stages of development, like planning. So those kinds of projects, they can reapply for funding in future financial years. No promises of being able to obtain that, but the timeline is relatively open in the respect that there is nothing stopping them from applying, but they are not on the cards for this year's project funding and this year's budget.
Some in the education sector have pointed to funding both in other sectors or and within the education budget. More than $150 million set aside for charter schools. Could this money be better spent maintaining the schools that we already have?
Well, look, we are seeing as part of the charter school process at the moment that you know, some of those charter schools, those state schools, sorry, that currently exist could become charter schools. It's not one or the other. In some cases, it's both. And so, you know, they really aren't mutually exclusive. And I think that's a really important point to make. But we're looking at different issues here. One is about conditions of schools, and other is about choices for families and students and learners. And, you know, I think the thing to consider is that there are a lot of schools around the country that are in great condition, that have been well maintained, that have been, you know, provided all the support that they can have over time and in a really good position. And so dealing with very different issues. And I think, you know, you've seen we've put more into the school property budget than any government has, more than the last 6 years combined in this one budget. It just goes to show that there are a lot of issues out there and we need to deal with them, and most of them are the highest priority. You know, things like leaking roofs, mould, and some schools in my electorate that have had to be completely demolished to be rebuilt. And those are what I consider the highest priority. And some of the schools, unfortunately, were led on by the previous government and we've just had to tell them to wait. But if you look around those schools that are in desperate need, the budget that we have put into that is more than has been before, and shouldn't be in a position now where we're starting to take budget from other areas like curriculum, like school choices and like learning outcomes, for example.
There's also, you mentioned the projects due to go ahead. Part of, I guess, a subset of those projects are some due to go through with some reductions on what the government calls non-essential elements, which should decrease overall spending. Do we have any idea what these non-essential parts of the build might look like?
Yeah, well, look, I can't give you the details of every single project, but I can give you an example of where in the previous government budget was approved for an enormous glass window at the reception of the administration block. And as a result of that enormous glass window, floor-to-ceiling, high-pitched roof, then the maintenance budget for the years following was increased by $10,000. So those are the kinds of things that we need to be looking at an operational level. So, of course, this is the Ministry of Education making these decisions. But it's really important for us to look at what is going to be conducive to student learning and what is not. And so I think it's really important for us to be very careful and critical with those kinds of decisions, because this is all about student outcomes and having safe, warm, comfortable classrooms for teaching and learning in those learning spaces. That's priority for us. So, you know, I can't speak to the Ministry of Education and those decisions that they're going to make, but that's just an example of where there's been some wasteful spending in previous projects that have an ongoing impact as well.
So you can assure teachers and students that these classrooms will be completely up to standard, and that they should the changes should reduce costs, not only now, but as you mentioned, maintenance costs further down the line?
Oh, well, look, I can't make that commitment. I'm not the Minister of Education. But certainly those kinds of decisions will be made to make sure that they're sustainable projects, absolutely.
That was the National Party's Katie Nimmin speaking to me about the Abuse in State Care Report recommendations and the government's decisions regarding education funding.
That was our weekly chat with the National Party.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.